You probably know there's been several formal definitions that have been proposed over the years, first in the 1990s, again, 2001, and now the third one just this year. One of the reasons for the requiring a definition that is met by a group, agrees upon, is because there is no test for sepsis. There's no lab test you can just order, and if it's positive, they have sepsis, and if it's negative, they don't. It's a diagnosis that is a clinical diagnosis. And so it takes evaluation of symptoms and signs and findings and then saying, okay, yes, this person has sepsis. And that, therefore, requires agreement. The illness, there's a spectrum of illness where some people, where as a result, reaction to infection, the body responds with an immune response that can, as you probably know, lead to underperfusion of organs and multi-organ failure and eventually death. Where exactly do you draw the line for when you call it sepsis versus there's just early changes that your body is making that are not so destructive is open for a lot of debate. And that's why we have this ongoing debate. Now, one of the reasons physicians have not wanted to change is because so many other conditions cause SIRS positive abnormalities. And physicians know that if we just start trying to call those people sepsis, most of them probably don't have sepsis because, you know, if you have surgery and you're in a lot of pain, you'll show signs, you'll be SIRS positive and you'll look like you have sepsis. Or if you have pancreatitis and you're admitted to the hospital, you'll look like you have sepsis. Or if you have alcohol withdrawal and you're admitted to the hospital, you'll look like you'll have sepsis, because all of those conditions and many, many more of them cause SIRS. It causes, you know, your heart rate to go up and your temperature to go up and your respiratory rate to go up or your white blood cell count to go up. So it's just really problematic. So physicians have tended to wait till they're certain that somebody really has sepsis